Parafest, and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of ParaX, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
Step outside of your comfort zone. See the world with a whole new perspective. Join us and experience the unexplained on The Paranormal View.
And welcome everybody right here to The Paranormal View on the ParaX Radio Network. I want to thank everybody for being here tonight. All those in the chat room and those listening from around the world, we appreciate all of you. If you are listening from somewhere else other than in the chat room and you would like to come join us, feel free to do so. It's go to para-x.com, click on the live chat button, and you'll be in with all these wonderful people. And you'll be able to interact with them and interact with us. Tonight, we got a great show. And if you do have questions, you can private chat them to Ceiling Cat, Tonks Cat with her little coffee cup,
yep,
or myself, Henry Foyster, and we will get those answered for you. And if you're listening from somewhere else, but you don't want to come into the chat room, you can still ask a question by sending it to theparanormalview@gmail.com, and we will get those questions answered for you. Let's see. Tonight we have with us Cat Cloco.
Hello, everyone.
And we got Barbara Duncan.
I am here.
And Jeff is on an assignment, so at least he's out doing something. And I guess it's a paid thing this time, so he's at least making money. So we can't fault him on that. And matter of fact, I'm going to let Barbara go ahead and introduce her for that. And has some information about the guest. So we'll let you do that, Barbara.
Okay, I will. Okay. Let me get to the page here. We have, go ahead. Go ahead.
I can do
she
it.
She has it up.
All right. Yeah. So everyone, I am very happy, as well as Henry and Barbara, to welcome back our friend Elaine Kosmiskas. Elaine is an MS in nationally recognized medium, an astrologer certified by the American Federation of Astrology. She's also director of the New England School of Metaphysics in Suffield, Connecticut. She has written 8 books, including Soul Cycles, Astrology 101, and The Art of Mediumship, which describes what really goes on in the seance room. Her latest book is Connecticut in the Golden Age of Spiritualism. Elaine Kosmiskas has been a guest on Coast to Coast Radio and featured on the PBS special Things That Go Bump in the Night. She has taught astrology on the college level and does a monthly astrology blog on her website, www.theartofmediumship.com. So welcome back, Elaine.
Hi, it's a pleasure to be here tonight among such friendly people and open-minded individuals.
Or yes, those who might have minds other than me.
Very important.
Yes, you are quite a listener favorite, and everyone is very excited to have you back on the show. And you'll also be doing mini readings for our listeners.
Yes, I will be. And I'm going to put a little astrological twist, so if they will give their day, month, and year of birth, I will be happy to tell a little bit about them from my intuition and also what the stars foretell.
Yes. So for our listeners, if you're interested in getting a mini reading from Elaine, please send your information to theparanormalview@gmail.com and include your name, your day, month, and year of birth. We will send this to Elaine via email, so we will not read your personal information on air.
So, private.
Yes.
So very good, because I'm sure that we're probably going to get a lot of readings, a lot of people asking questions, not just those from the chat room, but those from around the world. And I don't doubt we will have a lot of people listening from around the world, which we always do. Elaine, want to welcome you for being here tonight. We always like to have you come on.
I enjoy it.
Now, there's some things that you was going to talk about, and I guess right off the bat, you'd like to talk a lot about astrology. So why don't you tell the people what astrology is?
Well, astrology is the ancient science of interpreting individuals' behavior and foreign affairs by the position of the planet. And it goes all the way back to before Christ. And it was very much honored in ancient Egypt. If you look at some of the ancient Egyptian temples, you will see the zodiac on the ceiling. And of course, astrology came into its prominence in ancient Greece. I don't know, ancient Greece had an incredible interest in divination. They had the Delphi Oracle. They had the temples for healings at the Skephales. And they also codified or wrote wonderful books on astrology, including the Tetrabiblios by Ptolemy. And the Greeks taught the Romans astrology. And, of course, the Romans eventually brought it into the Western world. And astrology has been used usually by very wealthy people. Now it's not that way because we have computers that can do an astrological chart. But in the ancient times, you had to be a very skilled astrologer. Even when I first started astrology, I used to do all my charts by hand. It would take me, you know, a good hour to put a person's chart together. Now with the aid of computer technology, I'd say less than 2 minutes, I've got the charts up. So astrology is now for everyone. My favorite type of astrology is, of course, mundane astrology, looking at the charts of countries, because you can learn a lot about what's coming up from as well.
Not only countries, but Elaine, you can also do charts for businesses and cities.
Oh, wow, really?
Yeah, and you know, Evangeline Adams did a great deal to help us businessmen in New York City. She was a New York City astrologer. And are you familiar with Evangeline Adams?
The great court case.
Well, I am not.
Oh, she was wonderful. She was a descendant, a direct descendant of our two presidents, John Adams. And she was a real Boston Brahmin. And she did her horoscope, and she saw that she would be more successful in New York City. So she moved to New York City, and she did a chart of the hotel she was staying in, and she could see the hotel was in imminent danger from a fire. And she told the owner. And within a few days, they did have a fire. But that kind of got people's attention. They said, whoa, she must know what she's doing. She became very successful. And in New York City at that time, at the turn of the century, people would just pay the cop on the beat a little money so they wouldn't bother them, because astrology was considered fortune-telling and was illegal in New York City. And she was an Aquarius, and she did not like the idea of paying someone off. Aquarius, the key word is I know. They believe in truthfulness. So she said, I'm not going to do it. And she got hauled into court. And when she went to court, she said to the judge, you know, I am not a fortune teller. I am predicting the future by using scientific means. And she showed him an ephemeris, which showed the position of the planet. And he says, okay, Miss Adams. He gave her a birthday. And she came back the next day, and she told him all about this young man, what he was like, this that had happened in his life. And the judge was so impressed, he threw the case out, because that was the chart of his son. He said, no one knows this young man better than I do, and that's because I'm his father. So that was a precedent that legalized astrology, and it was a very advantageous case for Evangeline Adams. We all are very indebted to her truthfulness and her determination to prove the facts of astrology. So that was how astrology became legal. And nowadays, we have astrology associations. I belong to the American Federation of Astrologers in Tempe, Arizona, and they actually give exams, so that I have a professional exam and the teacher's exam, which I took. And it's it takes about 5 hours. It's like a law exam. It's very, very complicated, and they don't allow any calculators. You have to do everything by hand. Or at least they had in my time they did. So most astrologers that are certified are usually very well trained. And the nice thing nowadays is more people are accepting of astrology. They're interested in what it has to say.
So how did they get astrology all together to where it could read people or it would pertain to different months and days of people's lives?
That's a good question. People always ask me how astrology works. And I really do believe that astrology works because people, when they take your first breath, you become imprinted with the stellar influences. And at that time, it's like a computer. Your energy becomes sensitized to different directions of the planets. And I'm an event-oriented astrologer. I feel that if a chart is going to be accurate in the future, it has to be accurate in the past. And I'll tell you, I was a skeptic about astrology until I had my first horoscope done, Henry. Have you ever had a chart done?
Not to my knowledge.
Okay. Well, what astrology taught me, I sent my astrological data out to Time Patterns Research in Long Island, New York. It's a long time ago. And it was a computerized service. And it came back with a 25-page printout. And it told me things about myself that really no one knew. For one thing, I've always been very psychic and intuitive all my life. And the printout said I had a very intuitive mind, that I often picked up things with my intuition, and that I would often go from 1 to 5 and back to 2 and then figure things out, which is true. And it said also that I would not be particularly close to my father after the age of 8. Now, that's an event that you can either check or reject. And it's true because my parents lived in Los Angeles, but they divorced when I was 8. And my mother returned to Boston to live with her parents, which I love. They had great grandparents. And I only saw my father twice after that as an adult. So that was true. And it also said I would be very close to someone born under Aquarius. And my closest person in my life at that time was my mother, and she is Aquarian. So those are three facts that came from that. And I said, wow. I was scratching my head, and I said, how can a computer know this about me? So being a very curious person, I got a book on astrology, and I started reading it. And I started reading another one. I think the first book I read was from the Rosicrucian Society, and then I read another and another. And I finally thought, whoa, I studied this. And I went to the New England School of Astrology, which at that time was in Boston. And it was run by a very wonderful woman. Her name is Frances Sequoyne, and she wrote 14 books on astrology, but she was writing her first book when I met her. And it's still in print. It's called The Astrologer's Handbook. And I studied with Frances for about, 3 or 4 years, and then I took my astrology exam. But, you know, it's like one thing leads to another. Do you know what I mean? You open one door in faith, and something else comes in.
Something else. So,
I thought it was like a spiritual, I was spiritually led. So I've always enjoyed my friends who are into astrology. And I've learned so much. I've learned so much about people and so much about conditions around us. So it's been very interesting for me. Now, Henry, if we're on the topic, I know you're an Aquarius, so we're going to wish you a happy birthday.
Well, thank you.
And you know, Aquarius is the sign of the water bearer. And the water bearer is holding a jug of water, and he's looking up at the stars. And that water is just flowing out. And you think, oh, what a waste of water. But it isn't really water, Henry. It's symbolic of knowledge. Aquarius, the key word is I know, and they like to give knowledge out to people around them. And you're born January 22nd, so you're a very early Aquarius. And the thing about Aquarians is they have this search for knowledge. They often like electronic computer things. And they're very interested in keeping busy. They hate to sit around and have nothing to do. And you have 3 planets in Aquarius. So you act like an Aquarius. Your moon is Aquarius. You like to be fair-minded and friendly to people. You accept people as they are. And your Mercury is in Aquarius. You like a logical explanation for things, and you'll search for it if you don't find it. Your Venus is in the sign of Sagittarius, so you must like the outdoors, do you?
Oh, yeah.
And you like to walk. You like to be busy. The worst thing for you is if you're cooped up too long.
He doesn't like being cold.
No, I like to be busy, busy. Yes, and what? And with your Mars in Capricorn, it shows you're a very hard worker. And you may have had an association with the military at one time, did you?
Yeah, I was in the Air Force.
Yeah, because you would like the idea of service, of doing something useful.
Mm-hmm.
And with your Jupiter in Scorpio, that's a lot of people born in with the year you were born. A lot of people with Jupiter in Scorpio, they kind of have a nose for news. They like to kind of figure things out. They might like mysteries or puzzles, things of that nature. And you will work hard to get to the bottom of things. That's important to you also. And you're born in the generation that had Uranus in the sign of Gemini. I call those the computer generation because, like, Bill Gates and a lot of people had Uranus and Gemini brought in our computers. And also the Neptune in Libra generation, which went for quite a while, for about, I would say it went from the early 40s all the way up until approximately the mid-50s. And these people that had Neptune in Libra are very much involved with social justice. It went to about 1957. And as a result, the people that are born right after World War II up until about 57, 58, came back with this idea that they wanted more social justice. They wanted to be fair to their fellow man. And I think a lot of ideas came in at that time that promoted equality, women's equality, that made people want to be fair to their neighbors. And I think it was a very wonderful generation that came in. So you're part of that what I call the flower power spiritual generation, not necessarily hippie, but interested in being very fair to others.
Right.
Yeah. And that's important. The generation that came after was the Neptune and Scorpio generation. They got involved in drugs more than they should as they came into adulthood. But anyway, at least things started out well.
It stayed that way for me. I never got into drugs or anything.
You know, that's one thing I do like about President Donald Trump. He doesn't drink or smoke or do drugs. He's very clear on that. And I think he's very clear about wanting his children to have, clean habits. So I think that's one thing that I hope people will take note of. I don't know about you, but I've lost a lot of friends to lung cancer. So I'm very passionate about not smoking.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've known quite a few people.
Wonderful people, too. Yeah.
Yeah. It's. I know people who passed away from cancer, but it wasn't necessarily lung cancer.
Uh-huh.
So, but they did smoke a lot.
Right. Sometimes there's a residual effect.
Yeah.
Later on, it'll show up.
Yeah. So you have a new book out, which is Connecticut in the Golden Age of Spiritualism. And before the show tonight, we started talking about some of the interest, one of your favorite highlights of the book, to the point where we were almost late getting on air because we kept talking about it. But it is the White House medium that worked with Abraham Lincoln. And it was an amazing story. Would you mind sharing it with our listeners?
Oh, I'd love to share it. First of all, the reason I wrote the book is I was telling these wonderful stories about the White House medium and different wonderful people in the Victorian era that had great lives as mediums and psychics. But nothing was in print. So when the History Press asked me if I'd like to do a book on it, I said, yes, I would, because I think it's time these stories come out. And one of my favorites is the White House medium, and her name was Nettie Colbert. And then when she married later, it became Nettie Colbert Maynard. Nettie Colbert was born in Tallinn, Connecticut. She worked in the Hartford area, and she was a natural trance medium. She started out with table tipping. That was really the rage in Victorian times. They used to have these table tipping parties. And people would get together, and these tables would levitate and tip, and she just had a great gift in that direction. And then they realized that she was able to not be a table to communicate, but she could communicate directly in trance. And she became very well known in this New England, New York area. And she even predicted the Civil War. She said when it would start and that it would last approximately 4 years. But she was rather shy. And during the Civil War, her brother was injured, and she went to Washington, D.C., not as a medium, but as an American citizen to ask for her brother to get a furlough. And, of course, there were so many people there, not many people paid attention to her, but there was one gentleman who did, and he helped her, and he was also a spiritualist. So he was very interested in her mediumship, and she demonstrated her trance mediumship so well that they had Mrs. Lincoln come, and she read for Mrs. Lincoln. Now, Mrs. Lincoln had lost a son in the White House, Willie, so she was very interested in communicating with mediums with her son and her relative. And Mrs. Lincoln had Nettie Colburn come to the White House and give a seance on several occasions, and this is well documented in her book, with Abraham Lincoln, a spiritualist of other sources. And she said that Abraham Lincoln really was interested. He wasn't a spiritualist, but he was interested in spirit communication. He absolutely had a fascination with what she had to say. Now, being a trance medium, she didn't always remember what she said, but people would tell her later. And on one seance, the spirit of Daniel Webster came through to advise the president. And this was at the beginning of the Civil War, and he was advised very early on not to delay the Emancipation Proclamation, but to give it immediately. And many times, I think Lincoln had people who were working against him in his cabinet. So many times he would be holding up on things that perhaps he should use his natural judgment, and he was absolutely told to go ahead with that. It was humorous, too, because Nettie Colburn, because she was also a physical medium, not just a trance medium, things would levitate, the spirits would lift things. And at one point in the Red Room of the White House, the piano actually levitated a couple of feet. And the senators would jump on it. They tried to get it to go down, but the spirit force was so strong they couldn't. So she was quite a medium, quite excellent in what she did. And she really loved Lincoln very much, and he had a lot of affection for her as he would a daughter. He said to her at one time, "You know, Nettie, I truly believe you have a gift that's of God," and he saw the goodness in her. So he was a great, great man. I'm a great fan of Abraham Lincoln. He is my favorite president. I don't think anyone ever can hold a candle to him. So I've read a lot about him, but I've never read the story of the White House medium, so I was happy to tell the people about that.
It kind of makes you wonder if a lot of the spiritual energy at the White House is because of the way Washington, D.C. is designed, and it was designed by Freemasons.
That's correct. The layout was designed by Masons. And I truly believe the United States has an incredibly high purpose. I feel the United States stands for freedom. And we have a very high purpose for showing democracy, freedom, free speech, helping people to know humanitarian concerns. And really, we're a very wealthy nation. At one point, we really do believe we could feed the world. So we're a great nation, and we're a strong nation, and we are a spiritual nation. And that's what our forefathers believed, and that's how the country was formed.
Wow.
But very few people know that about the Masons designing the layout for Washington, D.C.
Yeah, I see that a lot on those shows on Destiny.
But that's really true, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. In fact, Mitchell, I can't give his name. There's a book out called Occult America, which is very good, and it gives a lot of information about how America was influenced by occultists. Mitch Horowitz is his name.
So speaking of the White House, if we could talk a little bit about Donald Trump and his horoscope.
Yes, I'd be glad to. Well, Donald Trump is in the news quite a bit right now because he is president of the United States. And, you know, Donald Trump has a very, very interesting chart. He really does. He has many interesting aspects to his chart, his horoscope. And one of the things that people may not realize about Donald Trump is that he has his sun in Gemini, but his moon in Sagittarius. So he is a full moon person. And like a lot of people born on the full moon, he likes to be heard. He likes people to know that he is around. And he also has a great a constellium. He has his sun and his north node, which is the lucky part of his chart, and Uranus in the 10th house of leadership. So he is a natural leader. And all of his planets are on the left-hand side of the chart, which indicates a person who believes very strongly in free will. He does have his Venus and Saturn in Cancer. So one of the things people may not realize, he is a little bit of a homebody. I think when he's not working, he really does like to just relax at home. And it also indicates he's got great courage with his Mars and Leo at the top of at the ascendant. And his ascendant is also 29 of Leo, which conjuncts the star, the Kingmaker, the sixth star of Regulus. So again, he's got a lot of leadership, popularity, and he is an individual that tends to shoot from the hip because he's got the urinating aspects in his chart, where he's very apt to say what's on his mind. And I think that's one of the things he's been criticized for at times. Hopefully, as we mature and we get into the office more, you'll see a more thoughtful Donald Trump. His chart looks like he could have a little difficulty during the two eclipses. Are you familiar with eclipses?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, didn't we just have one last night?
Lunar eclipse.
Oh, that was a lunar, but we have the solar eclipses are far more powerful.
Oh.
And we have a solar eclipse coming in February 26th at 8 degrees of Pisces. Very close to the south node. So it's going to be a little bit of a sobering moment for people, and it may affect the stock market. It's like people take a second look at things during eclipses. So there could be some corrections, I would say, from the 25th to approximately the 5th of March. And it also indicates that it's good. I know he has, we all know from the news that he's having a terrible time trying to get some of his proclamations through, and I think there's going to be a lot of rumbling about that time regarding things that he's doing. So he's got that, and then the second eclipse is going to be even stronger because the first eclipse is a solar eclipse that's partial. The second eclipse, there's only two in 2017, will be August 21st, and it's going to be a full eclipse. And it will go, the path of the eclipse is very important because where you see the eclipse, where you can view it, is where it will be the most effective or will have the greatest influence. And it will be seen from Oregon all the way through Virginia across the United States. And that particular eclipse is at 28, almost 29 of Leo, and it is on Donald Trump's Mars and ascendant. And that eclipse is going to be, I think, his toughest time in office. It's interesting. I did the horoscope of Israel. It's right on Mars and Israel's chart, so there could be a lot of trouble in the Mideast at that time. Of course, you might say, when isn't there trouble in the Mideast? But something could come to a boiling point. And I think that we have to watch very carefully from August 21st until about late October. That may be the most difficult period for him in office, or the strongest responsibilities. But I like to be positive. On a positive side, I think he is a very good businessman. I think he is going to improve the jobs in the United States. I think he is going to make some reforms in immigration laws. And I do feel that we will continue to have good progress in the stock market. Now, there'll be corrections. When these eclipses occur, there will be corrections. But it seems when Jupiter starts to trine the United States chart, Jupiter is the lucky planet. And when it makes good aspects in November, December, through the spring of 2018, I think this should be very good for the nation and should be good for job growth. And also, I think we'll find interest rates creeping up under that cycle as well, because there'll be more of a sense of prosperity. So that's kind of how I see what he'll be doing. I think he's very sincere in trying to improve the economy and trying to keep America safe. I really do feel that. There may be disagreement as to how he does it, but I think that he does want to do a good job. And like all full moon people, he can be one way or the other. He could be either very good or very bad, but I'm betting he's going to be very good.
Actually, we got a good question from chat about White House mediums. Yeah, and it comes from Sherry, and she asks, did the recent White House administrations have mediums or astrologers?
Well, if they did, they were very hush-hush, I'll tell you that. But it did link that Jean Houston had done readings for the Clintons when President Bill Clinton was in office. And Jean Houston is a channeler. She also is very much into metaphysics. And I do feel that she felt that Eleanor Roosevelt had a very strong influence on the Clinton White House, or came through in some direction for Hillary Clinton.
Wow.
And that came out. That was a long time ago, though.
Wow.
But anyway, the probably the most documented influence in terms of metaphysics would have been Joan Quigley. She was Nancy Quigley's astrologer. She was from San Francisco, a socialite, and she wrote Astrology for Adults. And then she did a tell-all book after that and called What Does Joan Say? About her White House charts for Nancy Reagan. I don't necessarily approve of the book. I think you should keep your client's information confidential. But she never did reveal Nancy Reagan's birthday, so she did keep that part of it. But anyway, every 20 years, there was what was considered to be negative aspects on the presidency. And, for example, JFK died in office, and then the person elected in 1980, Ronald Reagan, was supposed to be under those aspects. And Nancy, of course, was very, very concerned. So she had Joan do all the charts for major events. So she would make sure that when there were really negative aspects, that President Reagan was not out of the White House. And because, of course, when you're in the White House, you have great security and great control. But when you're out in public, there's absolutely no way that anybody can be totally protected. Even if you wear a protective vest, somebody could shoot you in the head. So you have to be very, very careful. And unfortunately, there was an assassination attempt, but President Reagan was not. Well, he was injured, but he did survive. And I do think that Joan Quigley has to take some credit for that, that she really did a good job on doing the astrology charts for President Reagan. Whether Reagan was a believer, I'm not sure, but I know Nancy Reagan was, and she had great influence on the president.
Oh, yeah, Nancy Reagan was a big believer in astrology. When Reagan was inaugurated as governor of California, they held the inauguration at the appropriate astrological time, not the normal noon on January 21st.
Right, they did. And I don't know if President Trump is a believer, but I do know that Stallone's mother is an astrologer, Jackie Stallone, and she has she predicted that Trump would win, so she may have had some influence. I know, I have to say this, whoever picked some of the dates when he started his presidency, his campaign, it was astrologically perfect, so we had to get some input on that.
Wow.
I don't know exactly who chose the date. I suspect it was Jackie Stallone, but I don't know for sure. But it definitely was astrologically perfect, so it gave him a little boost. Remember, he campaigned before, and he backed out because he didn't have a good response.
Right.
But this time when he started, he seemed to start on the right note, and people were behind him, and then things kept going for him right from the beginning.
Well, I think it's about time for us to take a break.
Yes.
And I would assume that you're going to take us out.
Who?
Will, We'll get Kat to take us out on the first one. We'll get Barbara to do it on the second one.
Okay. So, everyone, you are listening to The Paranormal View with your hosts, Henry Foister, Jeffrey Gould, Barbara Duncan, and myself, Kat Klogo. Tonight, we welcome back a very, very loved guest to the show, Elaine Kosmiskas, who will be doing mini readings in the second hour, so in 30 minutes. And if you would like one, you can send us your name, your birthday, birth month, and birth year to theparanormalview@gmail.com. More to come after the break.
From the author of the Ghost of Hollywood series and Workplace Spells comes a book for all lovers of pets, Animal Spells and Magic by Marla Brooks. Learn how to choose your next pet according to their astrological sign. Explore animal superstitions. Learn 25 magic spells for your pets and get instructions on creating your own spells. Learn who to call upon and what to use to cast these spells. Include special chapters by Reverend Tim Shaw, Psychic to the Stars Kenny Kingston, Psychic Medium Victoria Gross, Animal Communicator Dinah Roseberry, and Shaman Willie Windwalker Gibson. This is the perfect book for all animal lovers. Animal Spells and Magic by Marla Brooks. For details on how to get your copy of this amazing new book, go to www.schifferbooks.com or check out Marla Brooks online at www.marlabrooks.com. This would make the perfect gift for the animal lover in your life. Go to www.schifferbooks.com or ask about it at your local bookstore.
Hi, this is Mike from Mr. G's Ice Cream Store in Gettysburg, the most haunted ice cream store in town. Stop in and see us next time you're around. We feature 16 flavors of homemade ice cream made right here in the store. Look forward to seeing you.
My name is Greg Bakken. I'm a writer, a producer, and a paranormal investigator. My favorite way of communicating with spirits is through using the spirit box, also known as a ghost box. I invite you to listen to me every Wednesday at 10 p.m. Central for interviews with people in the paranormal community and beyond. Plus, I will also include as much of my spirit box evidence as I can during my show.
My name is Greg. Can you say Greg? Can you say Jeff?
Great. Jeff. Join me every Wednesday at 10 p.m. Central Time for Minnesota Ghost Box, only on Para-X Radio.
Hi, I am John Zaffis, and you are listening to Paranormal View on the Para-X Radio Network.
So, Tim, around here at Para-X, we're considered oldies because we've been here so long, right?
You know, yeah, but, you know, there's nothing wrong with oldies. In fact, you know what? I really love oldies.
Well, yeah, me too. I mean, it kind of takes me back to a time when my cauldron had training wheels and the Black Cat Lounge was called the Black Kitten Lounge. Sometimes I miss the good old days.
Sis, there's no need to miss them at all, because all you have to do is turn on and listen to Rock with the Shock.
Rock with the Who?
No, little sis. No, not the Who. The Shock.
I found it at last! Marla's sacred cauldron. This is the legendary artifact that has been whispered about its tones for hundreds of years, and now it's mine! All mine!
Who dares defy the sanctity of my castle walls? Step away from the cauldron, you impertinent, muddy metal maltworm.
Never! I've spent half my lifetime trying to discover your age-old secret of stirring the cauldron!
Oh, for Merlin's sake, that's no deep, dark secret. Just tune into the Para-X Radio Network Thursday nights at 9 o'clock Eastern for more cauldron stirring than you can shake a wand at.
Oh, well, in that case, I guess I don't need to take up any more of your time, so I guess I'll be going!
Not just yet. We've got a little unfinished business to take care of.
Oh.
at Stirring the Cauldron with Marla Brooks every Thursday night at 9 p.m. Eastern on the Para-X Radio Network.
Para-X Radio presents Real Persons of Genius.
Real Persons of Genius.
Today, we salute you, Mr. and Mrs. Para-X show host.
Mr. and Ms. Para-X show host.
Armed with nothing more than a laptop and a microphone, you hit the air to scare the bejesus out of your audience.
What the hell was that noise?
Like a dog peeing on a fire hydrant, you always whet our appetite for more.
I just can't get enough.
Whether it's witches, ghosts, fairies, or Bigfoot, we admire your ability to set aside reality and believe anything anyone tells you.
Seek professional help.
So the next time you're kneeling in front of your 8x10 glossy of Dave and Tom lighting a candle, remember, if it wasn't for you, I might be able to sleep without the lights on.
Mr. and Mrs. Para-X Soho.
Para-X Radio Network, powered by CBS.
And welcome back, everybody, to the Paranormal View right here on the Para-X Radio Network. I want to thank everybody for being here tonight. We got a full chat room, and those listening from around the world, we appreciate each and every one of you. And speaking of listeners from around the world, Barbara, where do we have listeners at?
We are coming from all over the place tonight. We have listeners in the United States, the United Kingdom, Canada, Malaysia, Manila, Costa Rica, Ireland, and unknown.
Wow, that's an awful lot of places.
And spread the word, folks. TuneIn is now working again, so if you need to use that as a medium to listen to us, you can join back up on TuneIn.
All right.
That was a good pun.
Yeah.
A medium.
Stick it right on here, all and, folks.
And we also have the thing in the chat room working again. Yay. So Google is now working. Google Chrome, I'm sorry. So that is working. That is a good thing. So you can listen back again the old ways.
And as Elaine would say, that's a good Mercury retrograde lesson.
Yes, we all have to go through that.
And we want to welcome Elaine back with us tonight.
Good. I'm glad to be here.
All right. And we got lots to talk about, and I guess we're getting a lot of people sending stuff in. It's going to be wanting some readings in a little while. So
yeah.
Let's talk some more about the about astrology and things that are going on. Let's see. Can you tell us about the chart for the United States, and why do you call it the year of the reset?
Yes. First of all, last year I talked about the year of reckoning because Saturn was in Sagittarius. It continues there. And Saturn is the reality check, and Sagittarius is the party side. So I said the party is over last year. That we have to pay the bills and we have to have a reality check for 2016. And I did predict that even though gas prices would stay down, that it would do little to stimulate the economy, that we still have a ways to go with that. So this year I'm calling the year of the reset. It's interesting that now people, the reason I think they voted President Trump in is because people want change. They want to reset the economy. And as a nation, we were born on July 4th, 1776, when we became independent from England. And there are a lot of things that you can see in the United States chart. For example, we have our sun in Cancer, so we are a nation that believes in home and family. But we also have our moon in the sign of Aquarius. So we are a nation by the people, for the people, and a democracy. We also have our Jupiter in Cancer. So we're a very wealthy country. And our Venus, which is the planet that sweetens, is also in Cancer. We have the three benefics in the sign of Cancer, which gives a great deal of land, wealth, and a fruitful nation. Now, one of the things that as I look at the chart, I know I felt very strongly that we are going to have two resets. One we talked about is coming up quite soon, which is the partial solar eclipse, February 26th. And that's going to bring some type of reset in terms of his policies. I think he went like gangbusters, and he's had to reorganize now. So we're going to see by early March some reorganization. I think there's going to be positive change in terms of the economy. I don't think it's going to take like probably a year and a half to get things in a better place. But I think that there will be, say, by the spring, by early 2018, a better economy with employment down to about 3%, which is pretty low. And I think there'll be new programs in place to help people that are chronically unemployed. But before then, we're going to have in the hot weather more discontent because the first 100 days of office will be over. And I think there's going to be more protests, especially in like the Chicago, New York City, Los Angeles area. And I think the stimulus is going to be over immigration. So that's going to continue for a while. I also feel that there'll be a big test for our president between the full solar eclipse, August 21st, and the end of October. And they'll have things left to be delegated and dealt with very carefully in Israel and the Mideast. However, I want to be positive. There are wonderful inventions coming, and I think it's going to be a very good year for technology. Things to do with computer, with better security, I think electronic, and I think we're going to even eventually make a great deal of progress in terms of energy. I don't think it's quite right now, but I think within 3 years that they will invent or have something perfected so that we will have cheaper energy for our cars and our homes. I've often seen psychically something about the size of a half dollar that would be like a pellet that would give us energy to work with that would not require fossil fuel. So that would be good. That's wonderful. But I think this year, 2017 and 18, there are going to be more books written on spirituality, and you won't believe who's going to write them.
Henry?
No, it won't be me.
I think scientists and doctors are going to be more turning toward books about spirituality. And one of my favorite books is written by a medical doctor, Dr. Eben Alexander. It's called Proof of Heaven. And this is a neurologist who went into a coma because of meningitis. And they never thought he'd pull out of it, but he did. I really believe that if it's not your time to go, something will pull you out. And that happened for Dr. Alexander. But while he was under the coma, he was conscious. He was out of his body, but he was having an incredible out-of-body experience. And he met many of his relatives who had passed over and realized that there is a world beyond this world. And I think Proof of Heaven is just the start of some wonderful books that are going to give people who are on the edge, not quite believers, but they want to know more about it. And I think it's going to bring a lot of hope for people. So I think that's going to be great. And I think those are coming out in the next 2 years. People always ask me this question. Do you see the stock market crashing in 2017? I don't see it crashing. I do see big corrections closer to the eclipses. I think the stock market is it's going to be up and down like a roller coaster. I'm not an expert on economics, but I do feel from the astrological cycles, it's not going to be totally steady until probably late 2017 into the spring of 2018. But, you know, people that know stocks can play the ups and downs. But for the average person, I think it's going to be having to be a little bit conservative. I do feel that some of the things that President Trump has talked about, such as placing a tariff on foreign goods, will be done. I think he is. I don't know exactly whether it's going to be 7 or 10%, but it's going to be a percentage. And I think this will be helpful to our economy because almost all the nations do have tariffs, but you know, we've been a little too generous, and it's cost us at home. The Affordable Care Act will probably be changed, but I don't think they can change it as much or as fast as they want to. I think there's a lot of consideration, so he may have to go back and forth on that for 18 months. And I think that there's going to be a tremendous amount of debate on this idea of the wall. I think that's going to be something he's going to find. He's going to have a big pushback from the Democrats on that. So that's what I'm feeling in the immediate future. The one thing I do like is I do feel that President Trump will want to bring back jobs and institute sweeping social reforms, a little bit like Franklin Delano Roosevelt, necessary to keep us going, which is important. I think the biggest thing he's going to have to deal with is probably the Mideast, Jerusalem, ISIS, Iran, because we know that's a hot spot, and it's been a hot spot for a long time. As I say, watch the eclipse in late August into October with that. I do think we're going to strengthen ties with our allies, Canada, Britain, and Australia, so that's a good thing. So that's what I'm feeling for the chart of the United States.
I have a quick question from the chat room from Sherry. She wanted to know, will there be new wars and or terror acts?
Well, I wish I could say no. I do feel that ISIS will eventually be defeated. I do. But it's not right away. It's not this year. And I think we have to be very careful with Israel and Jerusalem, and all, because they're our ally, and we want very much to protect them. And I think even in the United States, I think Trump is right that we do have to really tighten security. It's just how we do it that it's going to be in question. I think there could be more problems, but I feel that more in Europe than in the United States, Germany and France especially.
Now, they've already received so many people in that it's awful hard to, I guess, watch or check all of them. So
I know. As I say, I don't know how it's going to be done, but I do feel we're all going to have to sacrifice a little bit of our freedom to maintain safety in the country. I know when I was in England, I've never seen security so strong. I went to the British Museum. I mean, I'm a nice middle-aged lady. I'm very, low-key. They searched everything, my pocketbook, my book bag, everything. And that's because... I didn't mind. I really didn't. That's because they had so many problems. IRA, the Irish terrorists, they had to. And I was, I am very understanding. I think that we're all going to have to realize that we have to give up a little bit of our freedoms for a greater security. Yeah. They were very polite about it. The British, of course, are always very polite. Mm.
And I have another question from Sherry. Will the EU fall in the next 4 years? In the next 4 years,
I didn't go into international, but I did look at a different chart, and I would say it depends what you mean by fall. I think it's definitely in jeopardy since Britain has pulled out. I think that the British pound sterling, which Britain is on, is going to be stronger. I think Australia is going to get stronger, and I think the United States dollar is going to get stronger, although there will be more inflation. I think especially the Mediterranean countries, and you hardly have to be a psychic to say this, it's all in the news, Spain, France, Italy, and Greece are going to continue to have economic problems, whereas Germany, I think, is going to continue to be strong in their economy. They're going to do something. There'll be some kind of a thing where the nations in Europe are going to try to get together and form a different alliance to deal with this.
Now, I have a question regarding relationship charts. Is it possible, and I've never done it, to do a relationship chart for, say, like the United States and Donald Trump?
Yes, you can look at how they interrelate. Absolutely. Donald chart does show a strong tie with the United States. There's a lot of key planetary positions. So you can see why he would be elected.
Interesting.
Actually, I have a random question. But if you want to stay on this topic, we can a little bit longer. Did you want
no,
to,
go
Barbara?
For it.
Okay, so this is completely out of left field, but it just popped into my head. This is speaking from personal experience. I don't know why, but the date September 26th keeps popping up everywhere I go.
Ah.
Is there, and when I looked at your book's publication date, I was like, aha, yet another time. It happens at least two or three times a day.
Wow.
And I have no idea why. So I was wondering if you had any insight on that.
Well, let's just take a look at September 26, 2017.
Okay.
And just see what's going on then.
Okay.
Well, September 26, 2017 is a Tuesday. And we have the sun at 3 Libra and the moon in Sagittarius. Actually, the quality that could be some positive announcement at that time, because the lucky north node is touching Jupiter, so that could be good. And but I also feel very strongly that we may find, as we go into the fall, September and October, more discord because of policies of the White House. So that's what I feel. But I'm not, it's like September 11th. That kind of caught us all by surprise, didn't it?
Right, that did.
Yeah, it did. I teach mediumship and parapsychology at the New England School of Metaphysics. And many of our students would often say they didn't feel safe in New York. And I had a client, her daughter came for a reading with me about a week before 9/11, and Suffield's about 2 hours away from New York City. So she asked me, should I go into New York next week? And I took a deep breath, and I asked the guys what they thought. And they said, no, stay away from New York for a week, at least a month. And she said, why? I said, all I can see is a plane hitting a window, and that's all I saw. I didn't see the whole thing of 9/11, and I could never figure that out until 9/11 happened, and that's exactly what happened.
Wow.
So, and I'm not the only one. A lot of people felt danger with New York City. If you just go online to predictions, a lot of people are really in dreams and predictions of things happening. That was very well planned, and there was big money behind it.
Oh, yeah.
Big money.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, even though the terrorists try to hide, those thoughts are in the ethers, and people that are sensitive can pick them up. Yeah, that was in the works for quite a while.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and I found it interesting before the show when we were speaking about the September and October, and I just randomly asked, hey, are you getting the same really funky feelings I'm getting from this time?
Yeah, I am. But whatever it is, I go a lot with my dreams, and I've had dreams of having problems in the early fall, like riots in the city, and saying to my, I think we should go to New Hampshire, that's where our son lives, and getting my suitcase ready and packing, and then getting up the next morning and saying, no, we don't need to go, it's all over. So whatever it is, I think it's going to be of a short duration.
Interesting.
But, you know, people, yeah.
Yeah.
And I definitely feel by the end of the year that November and December things start to get better. I think what's happening in this country is we've become so polarized that we're not listening to each other.
Yeah.
Regardless of what side you're on, there has to be more common ground.
Yeah. I don't remember that being so divisive when I was younger.
Oh, well, everybody had so much respect for the president. They really did.
Yeah. Though I think everyone can agree that puppies and apple pie are fantastic.
They are. And that's what Americans love. We love all that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
That is Americana.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
So just as a reminder for all of our listeners, if you're interested in a mini reading from Elaine, and I think we have a few spots left, you can email us at theparanormalview@gmail.com. Please give us your name and your birthday, birth month, and birth year, and we will email them over to Elaine. Elaine, have you been getting the emails?
I've gotten one from Fenton. I've gotten one from Ariana. I've gotten a few here, and we'll get some more, too.
Yes, great. So yes, we're just sending them via email so that your personal information does not get shared over the internet. Besides That's the actual important. Reading.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yes, Henry.
You guys got any more questions, or do you want to take our break?
Oh, for heaven's
break,
sakes, we could talk all night. I got to.
Well, that's a question. We got
Well,
time
we were talking before we went on the air, and I was bringing up locality charts because that's something I'm very interested in. And we were discussing Donald Trump's Mars ascendant line, which goes over Washington, D.C., but that line also goes through North Korea, who just in the last hour launched a ballistic missile test.
I think you have to be so careful of North Korea and Iran, both of them.
Yes.
And I don't know what we can do except be very vigilant.
Now, the locality charts are interesting to me, just because you can move to a place where it is fascinating. And Donald Trump's Mars ascendant is over Washington, D.C., which makes sense that he's going to go in and be an action sort of person.
Absolutely. Yeah, and that's very, very strong. Now, the United States, we as a nation, we have a tremendous military industrial complex. So it's like whatever goes on in the military affects the business world very strongly. And I don't know, it's tough. And I do feel that we have to watch some of the outer planets, just not just the United States chart. But for example, one of the things that's been very strong is the Pluto squaring Saturn, and that's been bringing tremendous changes and causing a lot of the normal establishment institutions to falter. And it is going to eventually, by 2020, make a better aspect when it makes its a better aspect in the chart. And what will happen is I think we're going to find in 2020 that we're going to have more what I call people working together. There'll be a better reality. And I think there'll be some new systems finally in place, especially in terms of energy and medicine. And I think we're going to find that wonderful things happen in terms of medicine, because the next planet I want to talk about is Neptune in the sign of Pisces. And the last time Neptune was in Pisces was in 1849. It was like the 1849 until about the 1860s. And that is when ether was discovered. And ether eliminated pain for people in surgeries and allowed a lot more sophisticated medicine to come into view. So I do think with our Neptune in Pisces now, we're going to find incredible things coming in terms of cancer. We now have the targeted therapy for cancer. I do think things such as Parkinson's disease with stem cell research, eventually they're going to be able to at least arrest it, if not cure it completely. And I think there's also going to be incredible new types of ways of dealing with illnesses that won't require quite so much medicine. In psychology, instead of using Librium and Valium, which are very potent medicines, they're suggesting people try mindfulness or meditation. So we're coming into some very good things in terms of our health. And I think it's going to not only improve our lifespan, but it's going to make us healthier during our later years. So people such as President Trump will think nothing of running for office at 70. You know what I mean? People are going to say, well, 70 is the new 50. So I think that's going to be very good.
Hopefully. So should we take our break now, folks?
I think that sounds like a good idea.
Yeah.
We could start.
We can take a break now, and then when we come back, Elaine can start reading a few charts and start with your guys. How's that sound?
Okay. Well, folks, tonight we have as a guest the very delightful and bubbly Elaine Kosmeskis, who's going to be doing some more chart readings in the second half of the show. So please stay tuned with Henry Foister, Cat Cloco, the absent Jeffrey Gould, and myself, the Ceiling Cat, after a few messages.
It's always time for the dead to shine in Hollywood. The legendary Dearly Departed Tours has stepped up their ghostly game by offering the Hollywood Ghosts and Legends Walking Tour. Dearly Departed has long been an orb of hope in the paranormal world, having been featured on television's Haunted History and Haunted Collector. Their terrible tales have been made infamous in Marla Brooks' The Ghosts of Hollywood books. The new Ghosts and Legends Tour is a 10-block, 70-minute dusk-time stroll down the Boulevard of Broken Dreams. You'll be guided through the golden age of Hollywood and see where the unearthly Bela Lugosi, Lon Chaney, and the calamitous Black Dahlia are still said to linger. You'll see Hollywood's gothic hotels, legendary theaters, and restaurants, never forgetting their permanent occupants. No stranger to investigations, Dearly Departed Tours has first-hand knowledge of some of these hauntings. For details of the Hollywood Ghosts and Legends Walking Tour, find Dearly Departed Tours on Facebook, dearlydepartedtours.com, or call 1-855-600-DEAD.
Hey, this is Dee Parry, the paranormal rock star from Ghost Hunters International, and you're listening to Para-X Radio.
So, you had a lucid dream about living in Atlantis, teaching telepathy, and you're wondering what it means. We can actually help. We are the School of Metaphysics, a 40-year-old international resource for people who have questions. Big, juicy, deep questions about life and death and everything in between. 16 branches in the U.S., self-guided study online, weekend courses, webinars, and books. Send us a telepathic fax or visit our website, www.som.org. This could be the start of something really interesting.
Hi, this is Hollywood Hunt writer Marla Brooks, and you're listening to the Para-X Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Mike from Mr. G's Ice Cream in Gettysburg. You're listening to The Paranormal View on Para-X Radio Network.
Rhett, where are you going?
I'm going back to The Paranormal View, back where I belong.
Please, take me with you.
No, I'm through with everything here. I want to see if there's something left in life I haven't explored. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, Rhett, don't run to them. They talk about ghosts and hauntings, UFOs, and all kind of supernatural scary stuff.
You'll never understand, will you, Scarlet?
No!
Well, that's your misfortune.
Rhett, if you go, where shall I go? What shall I do?
Frankly, my dear. Line!
Oh, you've got to be kidding.
That's The Paranormal View with your host, Henry Foister, Jeffrey Gould, Cat Cloco, and Barbara Duncan. Every Saturday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, exclusively on the Para-X Radio Network.
Whether you're listening at home, at work, or anywhere, thanks for making Para-X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal, Para-X.
They're creepy and they're kooky, mysterious and spooky. They all talk gobbledygooky, the Para-X family. The shows are paranormal, not stuffy but informal. The topics are abnormal, the Para-X family.
They're strange, deranged, unrestrained.
So grab your favorite brew, it's time to rendezvous, as we give awards to the Para-X family.
welcome back, everybody, right here to the Paranormal View on the Para-X Radio Network. I want to thank everybody for being here tonight. We got lots of people listening from around the world, and we are glad that everybody is taking time to be here tonight, because we got a great, great show. We got with us Cat Cloco.
Yeah, unmuting is helpful.
Unmuting, yeah. And same thing I'm going to say to Barbara Duncan.
I've unmuted already and say hello, folks.
Hey, everyone, welcome back, Elaine Kosmeskis.
Hello, Henry.
So we have all kinds of stuff going on. We've got readings. And do we have more spaces, Kat?
Well, we've gotten a few. We'll see as we get through the readings.
Okay. Well, just in case, if you do want to get a mini reading from Elaine, you can send your information to theparanormalview@gmail.com. You will need your birthday, your birth month, and your birth year, and your name, and we will get those over to her. That way they're not broadcast out over the air. So, with that, we still got lots of listeners from around the world, right, Barbara?
Yeah, they haven't left.
No, they haven't left.
Nobody's leaving.
That's good.
Okay, do you want to come in from the chat room?
Nope.
Okay.
No, we're just talking about hamsters.
Well, Barbara's got
Barbara's horse, and she answered 716. It's interesting. Sometimes you can have one planet, your sun sign in Cancer, and have a number of planets in a different sign. So if you read the astrology books, Barbara, you are sensitive and caring, and you have an interest in intuitive subjects, also health. But the majority of your planets are in the sign of Leo. Your Mercury's in Leo. You talk like a Leo. You are very interesting and social. Your Venus is in Leo. It gives an artistic bent. And your Mars is in Leo. When you make up your mind to do something, you are either all or nothing. You're very involved, or you let it go. Does that sound like you? And the nice thing about all these fire signs, it means you're very creative. And they make a nice aspect to Saturn. And you actually have four planets in Leo. You have Uranus there as well. And when you have three or more planets in one sign, that's considered to be a constellium. And that gives you a lot of extra energy, a lot of creativity, a lot of artistic ability, drama. And did you ever have an interest in acting?
Oh, yeah. I did a lot, yeah.
Theater? Because Leo is a sign of the theater. So you'd be very good with theater, acting, drama, literature. And you have a wonderful way of presenting to the public. And I know you're on the Paranormal View. Did you ever do any broadcasts?
Oh, yeah, I did disc jockey in college. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I bet you'd be great at it because you'd be able to broadcast it in a way that people would be interested in the topic. Now, do you know what time you were born, morning or evening?
2:32 in the afternoon.
So your moon is definitely in Pisces, so that is very good. It shows that you like to be by the water. It gives a wonderful sense of intuition, and it also indicates that you can get bored easily because the moon is in a mutable sign, and when you're doing things, your mind can wander into like daydream because you can be easily influenced by your environment. And the nice thing about your chart, which is important with all the Leo planets, is that you have the ability to be very persuasive with other people, which is important. And what sign is your husband?
I'm not married.
Okay. I have to make a prediction. With all your Leo planets, you'd get along very well with Aquarius and Capricorn. Do you have anybody of those signs in your life? Well, those would be good for you because, you know, our opposite sign, the opposite of the sun and the moon, often give us a sense of balance. And ladies with their sun in Cancer are usually attracted to men that have their sun in Scorpio or Pisces, which are water signs, or their opposite sign, which is Capricorn, which balances them. And with all your Leo planets, sometimes you do well to be with the Aquarian people. because they'll give a little lightness or balance to your viewpoint, which is important. And with your Venus in the sign of Leo, you are very romantic. You're one of these people, you want a partner in life that will put you on a pedestal, that puts you first, and is extremely loyal. Does that sound like you?
Pretty much.
Pretty much.
and you're a person that, for you, like a traditional things like flowers, the door being opened for you, being treated very much like the lady that you are, Barbara. So that's a little bit. And Kat, you have a very different chart. You're born March 22nd. And,
yes.
And you're a millennial, so you came from a totally different generation as well. So you have different ideas.
Totally different.
And it's good to have different people on working together, because it gives more of a better perspective. You know, two heads can see more than one, and four heads can certainly see in all directions.
Right.
Well, Kim, you, with your son at March 22nd, you are the type of person, you're an Aries.
Right.
And the keyword for Aries is I am. And it's a very good sign, because it's a good sign for starting things. And you and Barbara should get along well, because you're both she has a lot of Leo in her chart, and you have the Aries, which is the fire. Now, you have your moon in Cancer, and that's a very good place for your moon, because the moon rules Cancer. And when a planet is in its natural sign, it strengthens it. So you have a very good pulse or good ability to work with the public. But you are not a typical Aries. Aries women are go, go, go. They can be very aggressive, and they never stop. But the moon in Cancer gives you a sensitivity. It gives you an intuitive edge and an ability to relate to others, and being, you're kind of what I call an empathic Cancer, which is good. And I don't even like the term Cancer. I prefer empathic moon child. And this is very good for working with the public and also for working with other women. And this is even emphasized more because your Mercury is in the sign of Pisces, which is very intuitive. And I think we talked about this either on or off the air, Kat. I can't remember, but you've had a lot of psychic experiences.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of out-of-body dreams. So you're very, very intuitive. Fortunately, you have a little Earth in your planet. Your Venus is in the sign of Taurus, which is an Earth sign. And that's good, because we have to be in the world, but not of it. So you can have that side of you that can be just a little practical when it's necessary. With your Mars also making good aspects to Jupiter, you love to work. You're a very, very hard worker. And when you start a project, you will do a lot of research all at once. You're very enthusiastic.
Mm-hmm.
With Mars and Aries, and you'll get all the research, you'll do all the reading, and you'll make an informed decision. So that's very important. And you have a quality where you are definitely a person for the new age, because you've got all those intuitive factors in your chart. And, you know, sometimes when you're a pioneer is what I'm trying to say. And sometimes it takes pioneers a little bit of time to be truly appreciated. So you'll find in your life cycle that as you go into your middle years, there'll be a great deal more appreciation for what you're doing down the road. So I feel
okay.
Very good. And we should also do Jeff, even though he's not here. He is a Taurus. He's April 29th. And he's got that wonderful Taurus voice. He's got a wonderful speaking voice. And Taurus people usually do have a very fine speaking voice. He's well-modulated, and he's sensitive to other people. But as I spoke with him many times, he doesn't strike me as a typical Taurus. So I'm interested to see what's a little different in his chart. His son is in Taurus, and it looks like he was born, I don't know his time of birth, but it looks like he has his moon in Taurus, too. That would be a double emphasis on the voice, public speaking. His Mercury, though, Jeff's Mercury, is in Taurus, so he can be just a little stubborn. Is he like that?
Yeah. Sorry, Jeff.
Five, he's got a very, very strong Taurus emphasis in his chart. So he when he makes up his mind to do something, he is thoughtful, kind, deliberate, and he's very apt to stay with something for quite a while. He doesn't give up easily. And another thing which is quite interesting about him is he does have his Mars in Gemini, and I like that. He needs that because it does show that he likes to travel, especially within the United States, and that's important. He also has a quality of the Sun making an aspect to Uranus that he just has to be busy. He's the type, he could live to be 90, but he'll still be working because he enjoys it. He likes activity, likes to be busy. And the only thing is when you've got the Sun square in Uranus, you have to learn to pace yourself. That's not always easy for Jeff. He might take on a lot, take a big bite, and end up sometimes doing a little more than he should. He's sensitive to a fault, and I do feel very energy coming for him because I feel that as people born under Taurus, this is true, the Earth signs, they often have longevity because they have the Earth signs can be very kind to them. And he's got some good aspects to his Jupiter being in the sign of Virgo, which indicates an interest perhaps in health, diet, exercise, and staying in good shape. Would that make sense?
Yep.
Yeah, so that's a little bit about Jeff. Now, the callers have called in, and Fenton called in about his birthday. And one of the things about Fenton is he is an Aries individual. And because he's born on March 26th, and Aries people, like Fenton, are often generous to a fault. He has an interesting combination. His Sun is in Aries, but his Moon is in Capricorn. So that gives the Sun and Moon, the Hindus say, are the eyes of God. And the Sun sign and your Moon sign are the two most important aspects of any chart. The Moon being in a conservative sign of Capricorn, while the Sun is in a dynamic sign of Aries, gives some tension in his chart. So there's a part of him that is very moral, ethical, conservative, and traditional. And yet, his natural tendency to be a little bit of a rabble-rouser. So Fenton has had to work out these things as he's gone through life. He's a wonderful speaker and counselor with his Sun conjunct Mercury, which is very good. And he's more than fair to people around him. And if he doesn't have a girlfriend, he's not going to be without one long because he's got Venus in the sign of Aries making a very good aspect to Uranus. And people like him because he is a likable person. He can very easily see another person's point of view. He has kindness to a fault. Sometimes he gives more than he should, but he does have a lot of divine protection around him. We can't have a perfect chart. Sometimes there are little things that will hold us back. And in Fenton's chart, he has a Mars conjuncting Saturn. Mars is the green light saying, let's get going. And Saturn's the red light saying, no, we better wait. And when those two planets are on top of each other, it's like a stop and go aspect. People start a project or a job or a relationship, and then they'll think about it and they'll hold back a little and they'll go forward. Now, this is good and bad. This can be difficult because it puts a lot of stress on you of a stop and go. But it's very good because when he finally makes a commitment or a decision, it's usually very well thought out. So we wish Fenton the very best, and we thank him for calling in. Then we have another person. Adriana is her name, and she's born February 15th, and she's a millennial, and she's interested in astrology, so we like that. And she's born very close to Valentine's Day. And her birthday's coming up this Wednesday, so we wish Adriana a very happy birthday. She has her Sun at about 26 of Aquarius, and she also has her Moon in Pisces. Now, this is kind of interesting because Aquarius and Pisces are right next to each other in the natural zodiac, so they usually are okay together. And the Sun in Aquarius, for a woman, react differently to the signs, make her a little more independent. But the Moon in Pisces makes her sensitive and intuitive. and her hunches tend to be pretty good. She has her Venus in Pisces too, and there are certain positions that are very good for Venus, and one is Pisces. It's exalted in Pisces in its best position. So she's a person that, as I would say, would be in love with love. She's very, very romantic, very caring, and it's doubly emphasized because her Mars is in Pisces. Now, Mars is not as strong in the sign of Pisces. Mars gets watered down a bit in Pisces. That's okay. It's close to Venus, and she's a person that whoever she values, she puts on a pedestal. She idealizes people in her life, and she's a real giver, very giving, very caring to people around her. Adriana may be attracted to some of the medical or helping professions, such as counseling or nursing, because she has a natural desire to help and to take care of people. It's very important to Adriana. And, you know, she's going to have a pretty good year ahead, I'm happy to say, because the lucky planet Jupiter is making good aspects in her chart. I wish I had Adriana on the phone, but I'll pretend that she's here. And if she came to me, I'd give her her best period coming up. And I would say she's in very, very good aspects, maybe for travel or being with people. As we come into the period, when Jupiter makes good aspects, and that's going to be September and October. I would say late August, September, October is very good for traveling. She may get a raise or step up if she's working. And sometimes if you're not working, it may, for example, if you're married, maybe your husband gets a raise or step up, but there's a little extra income coming in for her. So I'm happy to share that information. And last but not least, we have Mook gives his birthday, and that is August 23rd. Now, that's on the cusp. Do you know what I mean when something's on the cusp? It gets a little bit of both signs, but we're going to see exactly where it came, because I have in my ephemeris here, and that'll give the exact position. And as we look at this, we find August 23rd of the year that was given to me is that, oh my goodness, I really wish I had the time of birth. I'm going to say
birth time,
this person is on the cusp.
The birth time is 1:08 p.m.
Oh, good, because it's just, honest to goodness, I would have to say he is a zero. Is that a man or a woman, by the way?
Mufi is a female.
Oh, okay, because it makes a difference. Well, Mufi, adorable, is a zero Virgo, but she's on the cusp, so she's got a little bit of Leo in there, too. And but it just snuck in. It just snuck in the afternoon. And the interesting thing is, Mufi, in a woman's chart, the moon is very, very important because women are ruled by the moon.
Oops.
And the moon in a man's chart often represents...
Elaine, I need to interrupt you. I apologize. It was 1:03 a.m.
Oh, let me see. It makes a lot of difference. Then I would say Mufi's at 29 and three quarters of Leo. How do you like that?
I'm telling you,
it's all about the timing. Yeah. So, but she does have a little bit of Leo and a little bit of Virgo. So you could say she's a conservative Leo or she's a dynamic Virgo. But in any event, I'm going to say her key word is I will. And interestingly enough, this individual probably still has, she actually has her moon right on the cusp of Sagittarius and Capricorn. So she does have interesting aspects, but her Mercury also is making very strong aspects by conjuncting the sun. And conjuncting means the two planets are together in the heavens. And Mercury on top of the sun very often gives intelligence, writing ability, teaching ability, and communication. Is she interested in any of those things?
Moof was a teacher. I think she still is a teacher.
Yes, she was. Yeah.
Good. That's communications and teaching. That's a natural. And I believe if you go into a profession that is natural to you, you're more likely to stay with it. So I would say she would have enjoyed teaching and probably still do it. with Venus in Leo, now we have a bit different aspect to the personality. Person that loves art and creativity, loves children, likes games of chance, and likes to have fun. Now, Moofy can have just a little bit of a temper. Have you noticed that?
Awesome. I haven't noticed it, but...
just a little. She gets bored easily, and maybe more with her friends. She'll say, that's enough. She'll take so much, and that's enough. Because her Mars is in the sign of Taurus, and they can be a little stubborn at times. And yet, they're long-suffering. They'll stay with things for quite a while and are very loyal, but they reach a point with Mars and Taurus where they've had enough. And she's got a Jupiter return this year. That's a good thing. Jupiter, when it comes back every 12 years, comes back to its own place, and it gives you an extra energy boost. And that's going to be as we go into September and early October. So that's a very good period for her to start something new. It's good for travel. It's good for expanding your horizons, meeting new people, and it gives her a boost in general. So I think that's going to be a very good period for her. So I wish her well, and I would say take advantage of your Jupiter return. It comes only once every 12 years.
Yay.
Uh-oh. Yeah.
Good. We like that. Yeah.
So I know I just sent over two more listener requests.
Okay, good. We'll just try to see what's going on with the computer here.
Uh-oh, computer.
Just a second. It always takes a little bit of time. Yeah. And my new mail, we'll see what we have. Yes, we have a request here for somebody born August 16th, Bobby.
Yes.
Welcome, Bobby. Now, is this a male or female? Do you know?
It's female.
I do not know.
Yeah,
female?
Females, okay. I would say, yeah.
Well, August 16th, and I hope Bobby's a regular listener. We like that.
She is, yeah.
By the way, Bobby, you're like the third person I know that's born on August 16th.
Great. I felt like a person that's very loyal. She has her son at 23 of Leo. So she'd be the type of person that would be loyal, a good friend. And depending on her time of birth, she probably has her moon in Libra. So she's very people-oriented, interested in psychology. Maybe likes to read publications like People Magazine, likes to see what's going on. And with her Mercury in Leo, she has a wonderful sense of humor. She likes to have a lighter side of life. Her Mars in Libra is very persuasive. And my astrology mentor, Dorothy Aligned, used to always say, Mars in Libra is the iron fist in the velvet glove. Because they are polite and persuasive, but they pretty much know which way they want to go. So she has a way of getting people on her team. A great love of work. And a capacity for work as well. And we find that Mars in Libra also makes a very strong aspect to Pluto. And I find when Mars is close to Pluto, usually the people like to stay in good physical shape, like go to the gym, walk, because they have an incredible amount of energy, so they need to work out a little bit. So I'd say to Bobby that this year also is going to be good for her because Jupiter is making very good aspects to her sun. And I think there's going to be travel this year for her August, September, October. And I feel even January and February, that right where we are now, that she might have found opportunities to travel short distance. So I felt that around and about her. And then we have one more. Let's see.
I know Liz and Patsy submitted dates.
Okay. Well, Patsy's another Aries. We love Aries ladies, like attention, and they often have a lot of dynamic energy. But let's see if she's a typical Aries. She's born March 29th. Okay. And is Patsy related to somebody on the show?
Yeah.
That's what I felt. I can't help it. My intuition always kicks in. But that's good. We welcome Patsy, and let's see if we can learn a little. And it's good because you may be able to tell me whether this is right or wrong as we do it. Patsy is at 8 Aries, so she's generous to a fault. We don't know the time of her birth, but probably early Libra would be her moon, so she's very relationship oriented. And is she married to someone on the show?
Yeah.
That's what she, partnership's very important. Whoever she's married to is one lucky guy. That's what I'm going to say.
I'll give
very
you one guess.
Oriented. And she has her Mercury in the sign of Pisces, so she can be soft-spoken, intuitive, sensitive to fault. Be careful what you say. She doesn't like any cursing or swearing.
Yes.
And with that's Patsy, with her Venus in Taurus, she may have a sweet tooth. So
yes.
Valentine candy.
Yeah, she'll do that too.
Yeah, she'll like that. And her Jupiter's in Taurus too, so that adds to the love of sweets. The Taurus people like sweets. But, you know, she's sensible about that. And the nice thing about her sun in Aries shows that she can be independent when called upon. You know, if you give her a project, she'll do it.
Yes.
So that's very good. And one of the things that I do like about her chart is that Venus in Taurus is in its natural sign. Venus rules Taurus. So that increases the Venus qualities in terms of improving relationships. Cooking, artistic things, decorating, design. Does she have an interest in
that? She's a painter.
Yeah, artistic. Because not only do we have the Venus there, but we've got the Mars there. So she would naturally be good at color, decorating, form, and she'd have a great appreciation of artistic things.
Right.
She good. Does. Mm-hmm. Is she landscape or portrait painter?
She's a portrait painter.
I was feeling for it because I felt that she would be able to understand people psychologically as she painted
well,
them.
Well, she paints not just people. She paints different scenery, birds, just nice. All sorts of different things like that.
Yeah, very, very talented. Good. Yeah.
She does do a good job.
Good, good. And now we have another person, Liz. And let's take a look at Liz to see what she has. And she's July 28th. That's the Leo sign. Liz F. So let's take a look and see what's going on with Liz. Because I like to explain that we're not just our sun signs. There's so much more to a horoscope. There's actually 10 elements. So you may think you're a certain thing, but as you look at it, it's very a lot more parts to it. And Liz has her sun in Leo, approximately 6 degrees. So she's a dynamic person, loyal, generous, but she's also very intuitive because her moon is in the sign of Scorpio, and it is very different. So she's got one part of her that's outgoing and friendly, and yet she can be a very private person. If she played poker, she would keep her cards very close to her vest. And she can keep a secret. She really can. Her Mercury is right on the cusp and so of Leo and Virgo, so I think she's got a very good mind. And with her Venus also in Leo, close to her sun, it shows a person that would interested in fashion, jewelry. And, you know, certain signs do well with certain gemstones or metals. And people with a lot of Leo in their chart, as Liz F. has, gold is very good for them. Gold worn close to the body. We also find that with her Mars in Virgo, she can be a little bit particular. Probably good. In other words, she's detail-oriented. She is a good fact checker, and she doesn't like to be fooled because she's got the Mars and Jupiter in Virgo. That's also good for health regime, which is important. And she has a quality around her with her Sun conjunct Pluto, which means she can work with large corporations or organizations. I don't know if that's been something she's done before or not, but she could do it. Management. So that's interesting. I think it's interesting to kind of look at the different signs and and see what things are good for them in terms of gems or metals. And if we start with Aries, often anything red is good for Aries, like rubies. If we look at the sign of Taurus, they often like the emeralds, is a good gemstone for Taurus. Mercury likes different colors. Cancer is ruled by the moon. And pearls are very good for Cancer if you have a lot of Cancer in your chart. It's also very good for femininity and purity. And then we find Leo traditionally has ruby as the stone associated with Leo, but also the metal gold. And then we come into Virgo. And Virgo is interesting. It has a quality where anything green or emerald is good for it because it's ruled by Mercury. Libra, again, we have the pinks and the blues, the Venus colors. Scorpio, we get into the reds, especially garnet. Sagittarius, traditionally topaz, but I also find that color is very good for them in general. And then as we get into Capricorn, a lot of times onyx is good for Capricorn, or the darker shades. Aquarius, we like electric blue, that's the Aquarian color. And Pisces likes all the pastels. And that's just a general type of analysis, but it's interesting to see. In India, they actually look at your chart and they tell you what gemstone you should wear to improve your astrological energy. If you read the book, Autobiography of a Yogi by Yogananda, he was in a very difficult period, and his astrologer told him to wear a certain bracelet so that he would have better actions in his life, and he did. So that's very traditional with Vedic astrology, using a gemstone.
Yeah, I read about that. They have rings, as a matter of fact. They tell you which level, like a of a phase that the planet is going through, and then they put a gemstone attached to that, to it.
Right. I swear by, if you have an afflicted Mercury in your chart, wearing an emerald. I do. I swear that really helps. Because the emerald is a green stone, and it tends to, like, calm you down. And I also feel that if you're in a negative Saturn period, sapphire is very good. A sapphire. Of course, they recommend about three. The Hindu astrologers recommend about 3 carats, which is a little pricey.
Yeah.
But you can also use a malachite for emerald, and you can use lapis lazuli, which is a blue stone instead of a sapphire. But it's interesting. I found those two work for me, for my own experience. I also find many people who have need a circulation improved, they suggest rose quartz, wear a necklace or a ring. Also, diamonds, gemma, and quartz crystal are generally good for everyone because they have all the colors in them. But I'm not a specialist in that, but I have noticed, for me, emerald and sapphire work very well. Edgar Cayce, by the way, suggested if you wanted to improve your psychic ability, Edgar Cayce was the sleeping prophet, or a very famous psychic in the United States. You know what stone he suggested people wear?
Which one?
Lapis lazuli, which the Egyptians used to use that a lot in their decorations. Mm. It's a dark blue with a little bit of flecks of white in it.
Wow.
Yeah. So I thought that was interesting. Yeah.
And I find it interesting that these don't necessarily match up with the traditional birthstones that get sold to you at jewelry stores.
They don't. Yeah. So it's a little different take on it. I like the astrological better because it seems to have like a natural influence.
Wow.
But of course, any jewelry that you love eventually becomes very positive in your life. It does. Yeah, especially if it's given to you by somebody who cares about you.
Yes, that's very true.
I have sometimes people buy jewelry at estate sales.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with that. In fact, I personally like vintage jewelry from the 20s and 30s. But you have to be very careful. Because if you're wearing vintage jewelry, you can pick up the energy of the person it belongs to. because metal, especially metal, holds energy pretty strong. So I suggest that people cleanse the energy. There's a couple ways you can do it. The Hindus recommend putting it under the full moon, which is fine. If you don't want to wait to the full moon, you can get some sea salt. Now, I'm not talking about Morton's table salt. I'm talking about real sea salt. And put a couple of tablespoons of that in a cup of water and put the jewelry in that and clean it with it. And as you're doing it, intention's important. You could say, this jewelry is now cleared of all influences. Only positive energy remains. And then just wipe it off. But I think it's important to clear jewelry so you don't pick up the other person's energy.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't know if anyone's ever tried it, but it works for me. I just give you things that I've done in the past that have worked.
Yeah, I never was a big jewelry person.
Well, yeah. I've had an issue with vintage jewelry before.
Yeah. Can you feel the energy of someone else, or it doesn't seem right?
It felt very off, and I wore it anyway. And whenever I wore it, the worst things would happen.
I know.
So, and then I eventually broke.
Oh.
So I never wear it, but it was very strange. It was sad because it was a very beautiful 1920s necklace.
Oh, how nice. I love vintage. I love the 1920s. In fact, I wrote a book about a medium from the 1920s. Her name was Marjorie Crandon, and the book was called The Medium Who Baffled Houdini. And she was like the top medium in the 1920s. She came from the Boston area. And ever since I wrote that book, I've been picking up vintage jewelry. I've been attracted to it.
Now,
go ahead.
You are the director of the New England School of Metaphysics. Mm-hmm. What kind of stuff do you teach there? I mean, what happens if somebody comes to your school?
Well, my three areas of expertise are mediumship. I'm a certified medium by the National Association of Spiritualist Churches, and I'm a certified astrologer. And I'm also certified as a hypnotherapist from the National Guild of Hypnosis. So we focus on mediumship, astrology, and hypnosis. And our next class for our advanced students, which is already filled, is spiritual remote viewing, which we'll be doing March 1st. And then after that, we're doing a class in past life regression, which I've done for many years and with very good results. And then I do seminars. I'm doing seminars. If you go to my website, www.theartofmediumship, I'm doing seminars on table tipping and psychic phenomena at our local college, Esnuntuck Community College in Enfield, Connecticut. So we do a variety of things, but it is primarily mediumship, hypnosis, and astrology are the three things we work on. And we have guest speakers. We've had wonderful guest speakers come and talk psychic art. Rita Berkowitz came. She's a wonderful psychic artist. And we had people come and talk on medical intuition. Winter Robinson came, and she was very good. So we also enjoy doing that as well.
Now, you've done readings tonight according to the astrological charts. What does a medium do? How do they see things? The difference between them and a psychic?
Well, as a medium, I go into an altered state through breathing that I've been trained to do. And I usually bring in your loved ones. These are people who have passed over that are close to you. And I describe them and give names. And then I bring in your spirit guide. And then I tune into your future, because, of course, everyone wants to know what their future is going to be. And I always say it's the probable future, because it's the direction you're going in. And if you don't like anything in the reading, you can always change it, but you get a sense of what the pattern is going to be. To me, a medium is like a person in a helicopter. You're on a higher perspective, so you can see ahead. But people can always take a detour or go forward if they wish. And I enjoy taking questions from people when they come for a reading. And most of them, a lot of my work is done over the telephone. I do readings for people all over the United States. And also I had some clients from Germany and from England and South Africa, but mostly within the United States, a few from Canada. And I enjoy that because it's even easier to read for somebody you don't know, because anything I tell them has to be psychic because I don't know anything about them. I have a very hard time reading for friends. I do.
Is it because you already know things about them?
That's right. The hardest reading I ever gave was from my dear teacher, Reverend Kenneth Custis. And he gave me his bracelet and he said, why don't you do a little reading for me? And I did. But I'm telling you, everything I gave, I thought, has he already told me this? Is it something we learned in church together? And asked me to do a reading again. I think he knew it was hard for me. But a complete stranger, no problem.
Well, we got one more reading, I think Kat just sent over to you.
Yes, this one's for Tabby.
Yeah, we got about 4 or 5 minutes for you to do that one in.
Yep.
Okay, let me just get on the computer. Yeah?
Okay. Yes, we've gotten a lot of requests.
Oh, nice. I'm glad people are interested.
Yes.
This is for Tabby and May 14th.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, male or female?
Female.
Female, because it does make a difference in how I interpret it. May 14th, we have a Taurus lady here at 22 degrees of Taurus. And again, she has a little bit of difference in the moon. Her moon's in Aquarius. So this Taurus ladies are usually very conservative. They're home-oriented. They like to cook, they like to nurture, they like to take care of people. But she has an independent streak because her moon's in Aquarius, so she's a little bit of an independent, more open-minded. Her Mercury in Gemini, so she can be quite a talker. She likes to communicate. And her Venus is in the sign of Aries, and it has an opposition to Jupiter on and off for the next 7 or 8 months. So she's going to be very busy. I hope she likes to be busy. And with Mars in Gemini, this is very good because it makes a nice trine this year. So I do predict travel for Tabby. You know, if she's got anything planned, any trips?
Gettysburg.
Yeah, Gettysburg.
That's nice. Doesn't have to be too far because I think she's going to make 2 trips. I'll say one to Gettysburg and then another trip August, September.
She's making, I think, one in March and one in April to Gettysburg. And I'm not sure where she'd be going on the other one. Maybe over to, I think it's the other battlefield over there.
Good for her. I think she's going to make 2 trips. They're going to be wonderful trips. And I think she's going to be very, very happy that she made them. Now, is she into ghost hunting or intuitive things?
Yes.
Because I would say, bring a camera. You're going to get some psychic photos. And, you know, when you take a psychic photo, and I've taken many, you don't always see the spirit. You may not see them until you develop the picture. And I love the digital cameras because when you take a picture, you can bring it to your photo place and you can enlarge it. You can use different colors and different tints. Play around with it, turn it upside down, and you get more orbs, faces, and spirit outlines if you do that. So I feel she's going to get some good psychic photos. And I think she loves to walk.
Yep. They walk all over the battlefield.
That's good. She doesn't wear some, I see her wearing some good, strong sneakers and walking and getting a lot of spiritual help. And you know I'm very psychic. I feel that she's got several spirit guides working with her, including one Victorian medium and one Civil War soldier. I don't know if she's seen them yet or not.
Oh, yeah, she has.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
For her. And I love this Victorian medium. She's the one that's encouraging her in going on these 2 trips.
But, all right.
Yeah, and you know, the thing I like about ghost hunting and psychic photography and paranormal is it does prove to people that are skeptical that there is a world beyond this world. because it gives you irrefutable evidence in a picture. They say a picture's worth 1,000 words. In terms of the psychic, it's worth 10,000 words. So there is proof, positive. There's something out there.
Yes, there is.
I applaud her on her work, and I wish her good success.
All right. Excellent. Well, our time has just run right on by. We got about 3.5 minutes here left. Anything you guys got for Elaine before we start getting ready to wrap up?
No. All my questions have been answered.
All my questions.
One of these people we're talking tonight is working on a book. Is it you, Kat?
I do work on books, comic books. But no. I work on books.
No.
I'm working on, I think you're working on
Tabby Cat is Tabby Cat's
memoirs.
Book.
Ah.
More so, like memoirs or stories of things in your life, Cat.
Yeah. I was working on putting together it's a graphic novel, but about my own personal ghost encounters.
You said comic books, and my guy shook his head and he said no. One of my guides is Arthur, and Arthur said, no, that's not it. It's the one on the memoirs that's going to be very important and helpful.
Okay.
Wow. And you'll have fun. I did one, The Making of a Medium, which was an autobiography, and I'm telling you, it was the hardest book I ever wrote. It was like psychotherapy, but it did me a lot of good. So you'll find there'll be time to get stuck, but push forward because it's worth the effort. It is. It really is.
Well, we appreciate you being on the show tonight, and everybody just loved it.
Thank you.
We want you to, in just a second, give out all your information where people can get a hold of you, your books, and all about everything, metaphysical school and all that. And then stay on until after we're off, and we'll talk with you for a minute.
Oh, good. Well, all my information is on my website, and it's www.theartofmediumship.com. And you may call me during business hours. I'm on Eastern Standard Time. That's 9 in the morning till 5 at night at 860-668-0373. And all my books you can get on Amazon.com. Just Google Elaine Kuzmeskus, K-U-Z-M-E-S-K-U-S, and all 8 of them will come up. And I love to hear from readers, so please don't hesitate to shoot me an email if you have a question about the book or you have a comment. I really enjoy hearing from my readers.
Excellent.
Thank you so much for having me on. It was a pleasure.
All right. Kat, you want to give everybody our stuff real quick?
Yes, so you can find all of our information at theparanormalview.com, and if you look in the hosts area, you'll see the links to all of the projects Jeff and I and Barbara and Henry are working on. Also, you can find this podcast in iTunes. Please subscribe, please rate us, and write a review so other people like you can find us and listen to this very wonderful show.
And we're also putting shows up slowly, but we're putting shows also up on YouTube, so you can go there and look for The Paranormal View, and we've got about 7 or 8 shows already up on there. With that, next week we have Tim Scullion, an author. His book is Haunted Historic Colonial Williamsburg in Photos, and a lot of interesting stories hopefully in that. And we will see you next week. Because it's about time for us to run. This is Henry Foister.
And Kat Cloco.
And we will see you next week at the same time. So, in just a second. Good night, everybody.